Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Friends, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hennigan Friends. I am so happy to be back behind the microphone today. And every once in a while, I get to have a podcast interview with someone that is actually already a real life friend of mine. And that is the case today for the person that we're going to be interviewing. Our guest on the show today is Nancy Ward. Let me tell you a little bit about her through her official bio before we jump into to our conversation with Nancy. Nancy writes about conversion, Christian community, and Catholicism. After earning her journalism degree, she worked for many years for the Diocese of Dallas newspaper and the Archbishop Sheen Center for Evangelization, and then began her own editing service. Nancy is a regular contributor to CatholicMom.com, SpiritualDirection.com, CatholicWritersGuild.com, New Evangelizers, and a contributing author to the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. She has a busy blog on spirituality called joyalive.net. We'll have a link to that in our show notes. And now, through her sharing, through her new book, which is called Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story, Tools, Tips, and Testimonies, the workshops she offers, the retreats, her book, and a DVD that we'll also talk about today, she shares her conversion story at Catholic parishes and conferences, and most importantly, she equips us to do the same. So joining us today on the show is my friend, Nancy Ward. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's a real treat. And you know, I was trying to remember before I started calling you today. Do you know when you and I actually, how long we've been friends?
It's been at least, online. I started my blog in 2012. And a month later, I started writing guest posts or started as on CatholicMom.com as a regular contributor.
Wow.
And that's been... And then I remember at one of the first conferences I went to when I was pitching a book, and you took me aside out in the hall and to get to know me, and you said, Nancy, how are you doing with your book? And I told you I was going to pitch it with a different book than this. And you said, well, you just let me know when you get that published, and I want to do an endorsement for you. I want to help you promote it. And I've never forgotten. That was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I've never forgotten that.
Well, I have particularly good taste in authors. Well, your friendship has been an ongoing blessing, and I'm so happy today to talk about the book that that we're going to be discussing. But, you know, before we jump into that, it's ironic to ask you this question since it's kind of the nature of what we talk about. But on my podcast, I always like our friends to start off with telling us just a little bit about your story. So I've read your official bio, but how do you share just like in a 2 to 3 minute little response, a little bit of Nancy's story?
Well, I'll tell you a little story about some summary of my conversion story. Would you like that?
Absolutely.
Okay. When I was a year old, I was baptized in my grandmother's Protestant church, and I was there all the time. I went to Bible vacation Bible school, and then I when I was in the youth ministry, I did everything. I even worked at that church during the summers as an office helper. And I just loved that church as much as I could. And all I wanted to do was, you know, be at that church. And when I was 15, I went on a youth retreat, and I gave my life to the Lord. But I was so shy that I didn't tell anyone at all for decades. But that faith was so, relationship started with Jesus, and it was so tested 3 years later when my father died unexpectedly, and Jesus was the only person who could console me. So I went to college. I was in college then, and I was determined that what I wanted for my life was to marry a devout Christian man to raise a family with, because I missed my father so much. Well, I did. I found this man in college, and I knew he was the one for me. Trouble was, he was a Catholic. So we had this college romance, and we got over that differences in our religion, because he was so devout. I knew if I married him that I would have to make a decision between him and this beloved church that I was so happy with. But anyway, we got married in the Catholic Church, but not with Mass. And then a couple of years later, I converted to Catholicism, because that's where I could completely find the fullness of my faith.
Beautiful story, and knowing kind of your personality, I'm not surprised that that it took you a while to open up. And you give me really great hope that I look at you at this point in your career and your life, and I see you just flourishing. And you know, you just give me great hope that there's just so much still left ahead of me to discover about myself and to share. And you're really a role model for me, so I thank you for that. It's a great, great blessing. You know, diving into the book, the name of the book, again, is Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story, Tools, Tips, and Testimonies. And this book, Nancy, it's relatively recent, but you've been at work in this field for quite a long time. And in a way, you kind of did it a little bit backwards, because the DVD came first. Tell us first a little bit about the DVD and how that brought up this topic and why you started with that.
Well, as a convert, and a very shy one, what I was doing was collecting other people's conversion stories and also stories of people who reverted back to the Catholic Church, who are cradle Catholics and then came back later, or people that had a real exciting renewal experience or a miracle or a healing. And I started collecting these and was putting them on my blog, and I got an opportunity to do a recording for an online Catholic Women's Conference. So I got together three talks on how to share your faith story, and I did a DVD on that, and I used that, and I started doing a few events from presentations, because of course I was so shy, but I was so excited about learning to share my story that I went to Toastmasters for a year before I could really even do any of that. So when I'd have the DVD or offer to people, or if I went to talk to, you know, a church group of some kind, they'd say, "This is great, but where's the book?"
Yeah.
the DVD has three teachings, and that's really what I had. And I thought, well, that would make a good little short book. But then I've got all these testimonies. What happened was, the book was it's an expansion of what's on the DVD teachings, but the teachings on how to do this is about a third of the book, and then we have 30 stories from Catholics, converts from all kinds of backgrounds, and so they wrote their stories. Some of them, they rewrote them to make them a little longer or a little shorter, whatever. And we, out of all the stories I had, we picked out 30. Conversion stories, renewal stories, and vocation stories.
Yeah, I love the format of the book. And this book is published by The Word Among Us, which is a really wonderful publisher. Do you think it's kind of ironic that God and the Holy Spirit used somebody who is the self-proclaimed very shy person to talk to us about the importance of story?
Well, you see, when you give your life to the Lord, And I've had lots of renewal experiences. One big one I put in the book where I really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's when I really got my mission to do this. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, that balances everything out. If you're an introvert, all of a sudden you can do this because it's not you that's doing it, but the Holy Spirit is doing it through you. That's the secret.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons that I love your work so much, because just kind of knowing your temperament and how you present yourself, you know, in person, it's interesting to me that you're very soft-spoken. I wouldn't call you shy because we're friends and I know you, but I think that maybe a person who met you right away wouldn't think, oh my gosh, this woman is not only going to be an evangelist, but someone who teaches others to evangelize. But in many ways, you're actually the perfect person to do it, because, you know, you're not sort of a get in your face kind of person, the way that I think we've all experienced people in our life who are on fire for the Lord, but also sort of unbearable to be around.
Right.
You know what I mean? It sounds bad to say that, but you know, I want to just dive into some of the areas of the book. And I love the format, the idea that you start off with, you know, with a template for how to do this ourselves. And then you introduce these stories. But first of all, I have to say, we have a mutual friend, Gary, who wrote the foreword for your book. Tell us why Gary's participation in this project is so special right at the start of the book.
Well, Gary had very recently had a renewal experience that I was kind of a part of. Well, it's been a couple of years. I interviewed him on Skype for his book, a book that he wrote a couple of years ago called Find a Friend in Jesus. And we got to talking about, I said, well, now what's the next book you think you'll write? This was off the record. He said, the Lord might be calling me to write a book about the Holy Spirit. I said, let me tell you about because I know a lot about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We're very good friends. So we talked about that quite a bit. And he, as a result of that conversation and some resources I gave him, he went back to his roots. He had first committed his life to the Lord in the charismatic renewal. And he has gone back to that since we had the interview. And so and I was very surprised at this because I didn't know he put it in the forward, but in the forward he talks about going back to his roots of first giving his life to the Lord. And that was what I talk about, is these God moments of our life that where you really felt the presence of the Lord, and that's what you share. Now see, when I just shared my little story about conversion, that was just the very beginning of my conversion. Because the rest of my life is conversion.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a continual process for all of us.
That was very special to me that he brought that out in the forward. So there's another story in the book about his experience of relating to God in a special way, in a special moment, and going back to that.
So in
first moment.
In some of the early pages of the book, you mention one of the master storytellers, the great Pope St. John Paul II, and you share that he taught that the most effective method of evangelization is our personal witness. I mean, it makes sense to me that if you want to share with someone how awesome something is, that you would share your own personal encounter with that. But how do you think that John Paul II modeled that storytelling and the living of his life as a witness in a way that inspired so many people?
Well, I think his background in having hardships gave him lots to talk about, and also his experiences as an actor. You know, when it's an actor, you get out of yourself and you can talk about, you play a role. And not that he's ever, I think, did that in person, but you understand the importance of showing others a different way to do things. By the way, the reason that he said that it was the most effective way, was because he said that's what we most of us have available to us. In other words,
that makes sense.
a theology degree or national platform for teaching or even a website. We don't need all that. We take what we have. I mean, if we have it, we use it. But we don't have to wait until we know everything about the church or have a national platform for teaching everybody or a TV show or anything like that. You know, in our daily lives, there are so many ways that we can evangelize through our witness in everyday situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful.
I just wanted to add that because later on in that same talk, he talked about that.
Well, and it kind of segues into what I wanted to ask you about next, which is that you discuss, you know, the relevance of 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready. And it's really why a book like yours is so important, because a lot of us who live our faith and, you know, whose faith is significant to us, we may shy away from, you know, what we would call evangelization. But how does that 1 Peter 3:15 just kind of like give a commission to the every man out there who may not even feel particularly holy? Why is it important that we are ready?
Well, that's the scripture that gave me my commission, because I was faltering about, well, what should I do about this? I felt this urge from the Holy Spirit to do something about my own conversion story. And everywhere I looked, or on the radio or at church, that scripture just kept coming and coming and coming. It's like God just kept putting it in front of me. And so I took that as my mission scripture. And the first part of it is sanctify your hearts in Christ. And that's what you have to do first. And then always be ready is what I'm teaching in this book, how to be ready. And then the last part is, but do it with gentleness and compassion. And that's the tips I give. That's how you do that. Because you don't, like you say, you don't get in everybody's face. So that just shapes everything. And that's what was the impetus for recording the teachings and doing the DVD with that scripture. And that's my mission scripture from the Lord. It's interesting that you mentioned that, because that is a very important scripture to me.
Yeah, I mention it because we share a love for that. And I'm reminded of having written about that particular verse in my book, The Grace of Yes, in a moment when I wasn't ready.
I wasn't either. I had to figure out how to get ready. And the first thing I did, like I say, was learn how to get over my fear of public speaking. And people I could never do that. Also, they have to get over the idea that their story of relationship with God is very personal and very private. Well, it is personal, but I can tell you, Jesus gave us a great commission. It's not private. If God is affecting your life, then that story belongs to somebody that the Holy Spirit has selected to hear that your particular story at a particular time that you meet that person. And the Holy Spirit will tell you when that is, and he'll nudge you and say, okay, you see this person here? They had a similar experience to yours, a similar trial, and you tell them how God helped you out of that. You glorify God. You tell them what God did in your life. And so that's how you're ready. But you have to be ready by knowing your story and having something in your journal. Spiritual journaling is very important. And, you know, taking that time to write down what God is doing in your life. And I know you probably do that, Lisa, because I know you journal every day. So you understand that. But you can go back to those things and say, you know, this person needs to hear about when God did this for me, because this will give them hope.
I think that's significant to point out that you're talking about relationship, and because a lot of people might hear you talking about, you know, sign up for Toastmasters and making a DVD, and they may think, oh, well, I'm not ever going to be in front of a group like that. And, you know, so this isn't significant for me. But most of us will have the greatest impact through our faith storytelling in those one-on-one relationships that probably the rest of the world may never know about. And so don't you agree that everyone needs to be ready? Every person of faith, you know, even if our concentric circle of influence is very small, that our story impacts the people that are closest to us, perhaps the greatest. Do you think that's true?
Yes, I do. And sometimes I tell people, I say, think of the one person, a friend of yours, or maybe just an acquaintance, the person in the pew or a Facebook friend who doesn't know that God loves them. or her. Imagine what it would mean to that person if you could bring God's love into their, to that one life. So you think about that. You see, evangelization is all about love. How much we love God, how much he loves us, and how much do we love that other person that doesn't know God's love. We bring God's presence to others, and we bring his love into others. And so we have to kind of get over ourselves and say, yes, yes, I love God. He loves all these people, and he needs them. He needs what I have. And realize that it's nothing about you. It's about him.
Yeah,
and giving it to others.
I like that emphasis on love, because it also reminds me that, you know, in many cases, for a lot of us, it's easier to talk about our faith with strangers than it is to kind of come into the people who are closest with us and really, you know, share with them right where they are, because we love them, you know, what is working, not from a non-judgmental kind of position. I'm curious about a question. And one thing about that's so great about the book, and again, the name of the book is Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story: Tools, Tips, and Testimonies. You give us a lot of those tools, but one thing that I wanted to have you talk about is, you know, what about the person that we love, that we want to share our story with, who rejects us, who doesn't want to hear from us, or who isn't open to sharing? How do you deal with those kinds of encounters?
Well, I think love is the answer. There's other ways to love them. You think that, well, if I can just get them to love God the way I do, then that's the way, then that will bring them to heaven. But maybe God has a different path for them. So you just keep loving them. You take that person to your prayer time, to Mary, to the Holy Spirit, and you intercede for them, and you'll find yourself finding other ways, not the evangelist, but maybe other way to love them that they need, not the way you want to love them, but the way they need to be loved, in a different way. And so you are evangelizing just by the witness of your life. And because I know there are people that are turned off by, you know, the in your face blast, you know, have you been saved? Or not street corner preachers. And of course, I know it's not like that, but, you know, the Holy Spirit, it has to be his work. And you know, sometimes we can kind of go overboard because we're so anxious about it. And I just think that we need to have a peaceful time with it. A peaceful relationship with them is worth a lot more than trying to convince them to do things the way we made our commitment to the Lord.
I love that. And remembering that those people become a continuing part of our story, the story that we have is really significant too. One other question that I wanted to ask you, and this may or may not reflect my own personal opinion, but I wonder how you encourage people who say, well, I'd like to share my faith story, but I'm a person who, you know, doubts come up in my mind, or I'm not that holy, or I have times of where I question my own faith. And so who am I to be sharing my story if I'm not perfect, if why would God use me to share my story? How do you respond to that kind of a person?
I'd say it's not about you. Now, you see, our faith story, okay, we have our faith story is not our life. It's a work of God that I like the analogy of the river. It's like a river that's flowing through our life. This is the work of God. This is all of our experiences and faith moments with God that he has initiated and completed in us. And this is flowing through our life. And this is what we're sharing. We're sharing what God is doing. Not what we are doing. Yes, how he brought us to be who we are. But this is not about being. I tell you, people relate to me because in my story, because it's not that dramatic. They say, "Oh, well, my story is not that dramatic. It's not a Paul being knocked to the ground or Scott Hahn converting the whole church, this whole congregation he had, or something like that." This is about just the everyday accumulative actions of God in our life. And then you get this big God moment of decision that he initiated in your life. So you have to realize it's about what God does. And it's this flow that goes through your life. That's your faith story.
I love
that.
A river.
And sometimes it goes over rocky terrain, and sometimes it's very peaceful, and sometimes it goes, seems to disappear and go underground, and then all of a sudden it will like bubble up in a fountain where you have this wonderful experience with God's spiritual presence. And let's don't forget that what makes our story a Catholic story are that the sacraments are all a part of that, the presence of God in our lives. And that's what makes our story a Catholic story. And that presence, in our, especially the Eucharist, where that's just, I mean, we have the spiritual presence of God, but then in the Eucharist, we have the real presence. So we have that, and we're sharing that. And that's not us, that's God.
Absolutely. Great answer to that. And a reminder that, you know, I think sometimes when we're very transparent, I know that for me, in moments when I've been most honest about the things that I struggle with in my life, that perhaps those are the things that, even though it's really embarrassing sometimes to kind of, you know, let down your guard a little bit and show your many imperfections, that those are often the things that people gravitate towards most in your story when you persist despite, you know, your perceived imperfections. I want to turn to the second part of the book, which is really, for me, you know, something that I've really enjoyed is diving into these stories of people that, that you share, people who kind of from a firsthand perspective shared their stories. Are there one or two that maybe you could highlight for us of those stories that are shared in the book?
Well, a lot of them are big dramatic conversions, like Julie Davis that was a, grew up an atheist, or Cynthia Bates that came from Mormonism. I mean, some really dramatic stories. But there's other ones like Greg Wasinski. Okay, he had like zero respect for the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And his wife said, you know, you need to participate more in our children's religion. So he goes to Mass kind of begrudgingly and decides, well, he's going to do better to learn about this and to encourage his children. And the Eucharist became the point of return to his Catholicism. He had this amazing experience. Okay, that's happened to a lot of people. But he tells about it so beautifully that it's just amazing. And there's just so many like that. We have one that was a New Ager, one that was married a Catholic. And he didn't really want to become a Catholic. And then he studied Humanae Vitae, and he was forced to his decision. And he was so annoyed by it. It was really funny. So I bet that's what happened. So there's just some really humorous things in there, as well as really poignant things. Just a lot of big stories. Now, there's this one guy named Bob Curlin. I don't know if you know him. He's a physicist. And a Jew, and he's married to a Catholic. And so he goes to all the Catholic events, you know, with his children. And so here's this Jewish man going to his daughter's baptism, and an usher drafts him as an altar server.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, there's just story after story like that. That really tickled me when I read that. Just, there's just so many different ones.
Yeah, well, I definitely recommend diving into those, because they really show you kind of the personal nature of what we're talking about with story, and it'll also encourage you to really sit back and think about your own and what you would share, and then you can take the tools from the first half of the book that Nancy gives us, and you know, begin to formulate so you are ready in your own personal 1 Peter 3:15, when you're asked to be ready, that you have your act together, and that you kind of, I don't want to call it an act, I guess you have your story ready to share, so that, and it's not going to be the same every time, but you give us some of those basic elements that help us to be ready to share the thing that's most significant to us in our lives.
And we all have so many stories, because although you have that one big God moment, or maybe two of those, you have so many incidents, because as St. John Paul V, it's a continuous, conversion is continuous. It's a step-by-step thing, bringing us closer to the Lord. And so you have something that happened to you when you were 10 years old, and something happened to you when in your 30s, and something happened last week, and something the Holy Spirit showed you in your prayer time this morning. And all of these things are part of that river that runs through your life that brought you to closer to the Lord, and yet are inspiration for so many others. And yes. That's why journaling is so important. Yeah.
I think I've found that really heartening. A lot of, you have been such a dear in praying for my parents, and our listeners know that we've been kind of struggling with a family health situation with my mom, who is struggling with dementia related to her Parkinson's disease. And it has been probably the most trying 4 months that I've had in my life. And we don't know how long this journey will continue, but I find myself so often, Nancy, especially since I've been reading your book the last week or so, you know, understanding how a trial like this is part of our family story, part of my personal faith story, and that those, you know, moments that I'm having right now, the conversations that I'm having with God, which frankly, is often, often looks like Lisa's Psalms of ranting and raving, that this is part of our story, and that me documenting this right now in an honest fashion, not for the public, but in my personal journaling, my prayer journaling, that this is part of my story and part of what is yet to come. And so I thank you for helping me to understand that better, that even those moments where we feel shaken, you know, that those are important to capture and eventually to share.
Exactly. And if you write them down, they will clarify your own emotions. And later on, you go back to that and you realize that was part of your healing, is to take God back to that moment and see that He was really there.
Yeah. In the midst of it, though, it feels like a real kick in the gut. And to write it down, I keep telling my husband, see where these journals are kept? Like, when I'm gone, these volumes 8 through whatever need to go into the incinerator. No, I think that you're right that for a lot of us, the way that we process is to capture that. And you know, much of that people may never know, but for me to kind of invoke the Holy Spirit before I begin to document my story just lets me know that these emotions that I'm having, are a part of my story, that they're significant, that there's a reason for them, and that leaning into divine providence has to be part of my story right now. And, you know, eventually this may be shared, but for right now I'm finding consolation in just capturing it, because oftentimes in those moments of greatest stress or difficulty, you know, we think we'll never forget a moment like this. And then we look back after we've survived it and realize the memories are no longer with us. So I'm grateful for the chance to journal it. Do you journal every day, Nancy?
Pretty much. I have so many journals. And I'll tell you something about what you said, putting them in the fire. There's all kinds of journals that you can use. I use spiral notebooks. And you know why? So I can tear the pages out. So that's my way of journaling. I have little notebooks and big notebooks with me, but the little ones, I'm not only using spirals because it's too hard to decide what to keep. Because, see, I've gotten going back a lot of years. I have this boxes of them. I'm like, you know, what's going to happen to all these boxes of stuff when I'm gone? I started going through a lot of them and, you know, deciding what to do with some of these. And some of them are beautiful memories, like when a child was born or something like that. And I'll write about, this is what happened on the day, a grandchild, this is what happened on the day that you were born. And so I'll take that out and I'll send it to them or their mother to put in a scrapbook. So I do that, but I also take out a lot of negative stuff that, surely I didn't ever do that, or surely I didn't ever feel that negative. And I don't ever want to feel that negative again. Or I'll put a big check mark on it. And I'll say, healed, because the Lord has gone back and healed something in my past.
You see, that's interesting to me. I don't necessarily think, like, I would prefer not to have to purge everything and, you know, whatever, whether anybody will ever read the things that I've written, you know, that I thought were just between me and God years from now. But what a blessing it is to read the great saints who've gone through their own dark night of the soul or periods of spiritual dryness, and to know, you know, even someone like Mother Teresa, for goodness sake, I mean, immediately a saint in all of our minds, you know, she struggled in her prayer life and she struggled with moments of darkness. And, you know, it kind of gives me hope that if someone like that goes through some of this, that we can too. So, well, you know, I could go on and on. I want to know how people can reach out to you if they'd like to bring you out to speak or to do a workshop in their parish, or, you know, what the best way to get in touch with you is.
Well, my author website is nancyhcward.com. And or my blog is joyalive.net, and I have a Facebook page and I just started a Facebook group called Your Catholic Story, where people can come and share their story.
Ooh, is that open to anyone?
Yeah, I just put it on there like last week, so I'm just still working on the. I mean, it's up. You can join it, but you know. There's not a lot of stories on there right now.
Well, I am going to join it because you're talking about one of my favorite topics. So that's amazing.
So
that's great. Well, friends, we will have links in the show notes to all of Nancy's information, and definitely to get your copy of this beautiful book, Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story, Tools, Tips, and Testimonies. If you're not Catholic, which I know some of you aren't, this book, I think many of the things that Nancy is talking about is transferable to sharing any faith story. So I would encourage you to check this book out and, you know, to kind of begin to make some of these precepts your own. Nancy, are there any kind of closing thoughts or other things that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I wanted to share that how important that scripture still is to me, that you always be ready, because that's the one that keeps me going. I mean, I know that was a God moment when God gave me that. And so that's real important. And one thing I wanted to tell our listeners, we've talked a lot about getting ready and, you know, maybe learning how to be a speaker and all that. But I would say that while you're journaling, think about this. Your availability is much more important than your speaking ability. So I'm saying don't wait until you have all of your ducks in a row, your formal testimony written and all that. Because as you become more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit as you journal, you will recognize his nudges when you are with one person or a group that needs to hear a little incident of encouragement from your story. So to do the on-the-spot evangelizing.
And sometimes that looks like simply an outreach of love. I can't tell you how many times in the last few months when I've been really struggling, I'll just get a text from a friend or, you know, an email or a Facebook message that just says, I'm thinking about you today and I'm praying for you. And, you know, that can be the opening to a door that can blossom into something so beautiful. So if we just have our hearts and our ears and minds open to where our friends are at around us and, you know, look for those opportunities to be of encouragement, to share our love and to share our story, that can blossom into something really beautiful. Well, Nancy, I think I'm going to get to see you this summer in person. Is that right?
Yes.
Awesome. I cannot wait. If you're somebody who's interested in story and writing, you'll definitely want to check out the Catholic Writers Guild conference happening live this summer in Pennsylvania. It's one of the things that Nancy and I share in common is our great love for that organization. And it's a great place, whether you're a writer already, a published writer, or just somebody that's interested in the power of story, to learn really more about that craft. So definitely check it out. So Nancy, I'm going to have links to everything. I want to thank you so much for your friendship and for this great book, and just for all that you do to encourage so many of us to share our stories.
Well, thank you, Lisa. You really brought the presence of the Lord into my life in a real way.
Well, friends, definitely going to have links in our show notes to ways that you can reach out to Nancy to get a hold of this beautiful book, Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story, Tools, Tips, and Testimonies from the Word Among Us. Great book. Nancy is doing such magnificent work on her blog. And don't worry, I'll try to track down that Facebook group, too, and put a link to that as well. So until next week, friends, I'm going to ask you for your continued prayers for our family, and also just to know that you're constantly in mind. If you enjoy the show and you want to share it with a friend, that would be awesome. Or if you can go over to iTunes and leave us a star review or a rating, that would be really helpful to get the word out. We grow by word of mouth. I want to say thank you to my friends at Redbox Media for letting me be a part of your family and for your great support for this show. And if there's something that you'd like to share, friends, you can always reach me through email, lisa@catholicmom.com, or anywhere on social media at Lisa. Until next week, have an awesome week, friends. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.